This morning, I want to take as a subject in general, seeing God in every fresh situation. Seeing God in every fresh situation. So my text you'll find at the end of verse 28 in Genesis 42, where we read, "What is this that God hath done unto us? What is this that God hath done unto us?" I don't know what you thought as we read this chapter. It's an interesting chapter. But did you feel, well, yes, but we're not like this today. We don't live in a world like this. We're not like these people at all. Don't think that there's anything in God's word that's irrelevant, that isn't anything to do with us, because it is. Everything in this Bible is given to us by God. It came because God, the Holy Spirit, led the men to write what they did, or to speak what they did, and some of them had one to take down their words, but it amounts to the same thing. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so the author of this book is our God. And it may be we think, oh, these poor people are caught up in a famine, but really we're not like that at all. I don't need this. Everything's going on very well. Everything's going on all very well. Yes, but so it seemed to them, as if, well, they were on their way home with sackfuls of grain that would keep them going for a year. But Simeon, what about Simeon left behind? Is there someone on your heart that isn't here and not free at all? So, you see, it may be relevant, what we read here, may be relevant. And so we look at these men, and 10 came down into Egypt, now 9 were on their way home. And they were true men. There wasn't anything wrong in what they said. They were true men, but they had a past. So I want to just speak in this way. I want to describe the situation of these brothers, the 9 brothers that are on their way home, their situation. Then I want to come particularly to the question, and then I want to come to the answer to the question. So first of all, I'll try and be brief. The situation, they've been 3 days in prison, remember. I don't suppose it was too harsh treatment that they had, because after all, this lord of the land was their brother. They didn't realize, they didn't know that yet. And so I don't think the treatment of while they were there in those 3 days in prison, I don't think it would have been too harsh. And I don't think Simeon suffered too greatly in the prison, all the while looking out, thinking, when will they come again? Will they come again? Will Father let Benjamin go? He may not. I might never see them again. What thoughts did Simeon have there in the prison? The Lord knows all about our thoughts. We don't find a record of anything that Simeon was thinking during this long while, month after month in prison. But the Lord knew all about it. In the Bible, we have what we need to know. Don't have everything that we'd like to know. And we'll perhaps speak about that a bit later on. But no, we have here what we need to know. And, of course, it is Joseph, the Lord of the land. in Egypt, speaking Egyptian, of course. And they coming and speaking Hebrew, they didn't realize that he knew all that they said. It came out in the chapter. He knew all they said when they spoke about their sorrow of what had happened before. You see, we are verily guilty. This that's happening to us, the treatment we're receiving, we're verily guilty concerning our brother. In that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben told them, he said, well, didn't I tell you so? And you see, Joseph was hearing this for the first time. He knew all that they were saying to each other, though they didn't realize it. And of course, that's why he turned aside. He went into an adjacent room and shed some tears. And, you know, our Jesus feels for us. Our Jesus, can you say that? Are you in his family? Has the Lord blessed you with that faith in him? Repentance and faith, you see? We are verily guilty concerning our brother. Do you feel we're the sort of people, the same sort of people as were there at Calvary when the Lord was crucified and the crowd shouted, crucify him, crucify him. They got no time for him. They didn't really care much about what they were saying. They were going with the crowd. Careful, be careful about going with the crowd. It's very, very often wrong in following the crowd. So, yes, it's men like us that crucified the Lord. It's these men are just like us. And if you have no time for Jesus Christ, remember, we're just the same as those who would have Jesus out the way and crucify him. We're verily guilty, they say, concerning our brother. Do you see how long that conscience of theirs had been active? It was 20 years on now since the day that they sold Joseph, a young man of 17. It was 20 years on now, and they hadn't forgotten. And things will remain on a person's conscience until the Lord kindly forgives those that are brought to repent. And they find a greater than Joseph. But still, let's go on and see their situation. See, these things came back to haunt them. Is there anything that comes back in your mind, in your life, in your doings that comes back sometimes to haunt you? Well, this record here is just for you because these men, they found pardon at last. Are things on our conscience? It's better this way than not to have a conscience that works at all, where we do things and it doesn't mean anything, do wrong things, I mean, and injure, or they'll say what we shouldn't say. And yes, things can be very hurtful. Never said anything hurtful to anybody else. Wonderful testimony you have. Ah, but there, these men remembered. But it was good that they did. It was good that their consciences were sore and needed healing. And they were healed in the end. It's a wonderful record of how the Lord in heaven, the greater than Joseph, deals with erring brethren, men, as he is a man, true man, truly God. Now, they didn't know the end of the story. We do. We read on and we know exactly how it all ended, but they didn't know that just then. And so it was in the future that they were to hear that Joseph forgave them, freely forgave them. If you get right to the end of Genesis, to chapter 50, you'll find that still their conscience was apt to be uneasy. And after they'd known many years of Joseph's pardon and Joseph's wonderful supply of their needs, they're still thinking, when old Jacob is dead, now perhaps our brother will have his revenge. They couldn't really fully believe that he had pardoned them 100% from his heart. And so they came to him. You see, we do need a conscience that's set at rest by our Saviour, and he's able to do it. Excuse me. Well, now, here, their situation is, they're on the way home, and one of them opens his sack, and there's the money, the bundle of money in the mouth of their sack. And they're afraid. They're afraid of this unexpected bounty. Shall we call it a bonus? Afraid of this, that it comes as a bonus. See, no thinking, no thought, oh, this is all right. We don't know how it's come, but it's all right for us. Oh, yes, we'll take it as a bonus, and off we go. Wasn't like that at all. And they thought, why? What's happening to us? We don't deserve this. Don't deserve this at all, this wonderful bounty that we find. And they were all to find their money. When they got back home, they all found the same. Their money was in the mouth of the sack of each of the nine of them. And I don't know whether we have this sort of mindset. Now, these blessings that we enjoy, and really we can't speak of our deserving all that much. Have you thought sometimes, lately, this last week or more, as you sat down to a meal and thought, those in Haiti, yes, no food. Just like these brothers would have been. They wouldn't have had any food, they would have died. If they hadn't had a Joseph to come down to, or a store in Egypt that they knew about. Haiti. Oh, have you not thanked the Lord that he has blessed you? You can't say, oh well, we're more deserving than those in Haiti. We can't say that. It's just that we're not in the situation they were, but is there any thanksgiving to God? I know most of you probably give thanks when you sit down for a meal, but has it meant more this last week to be able to give thanks for a meal when you know very well, you've seen the pictures, most of you, of those that have no food, no shelter, sleeping out in the open, what the weather's going to be like very soon, nobody knows. No home, nothing left, no possessions, no hope in some cases, no help reaching them. Oh, bless the Lord for the things that we enjoy. And the Lord grant we might be very, very thoughtful about those that don't have these things. It's, we can't say, well, it's our right to enjoy those things that we do. We can't say that. I'm often struck when people are talking about their rights. The right. I'm not saying that there are no rights, but this is the best right that I read of in the Bible, and it's this: the right of a man to come before the Lord and to pray. We have it. There are things that the Lord does not approve of, and he doesn't approve of those that turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High. And there's nothing to discourage you and me from approaching the face of the Most High, from coming before God and making our plea, "Lord, have mercy on me. Oh Lord, don't deal with me after my deserving." That'd be awful. But Lord, just because thou art the God thou art, just because I see it all in thy gift of Jesus Christ, because of that, Lord, do have mercy on me, and do grant a blessing. Do grant a blessing. This money in their sack was to be the first of many blessings. Blessings that would stretch right to the end of their life. So remember, when we're talking about rights, the right of a man before the face of the Most High, and the Lord doesn't approve of any discouragement to any person from exercising that right. The right of a man before the face of the Most High. Comes in the middle of a sad book, Lamentations chapter 3, and you find it there. One could go on talking about the lovely structure of Lamentations, but we won't do that, we haven't got time. So then, I've come back to the question. Now, when we receive blessings so great, blessings that others don't have. I don't think anybody else that came down to Egypt for food and made their payment for the corn, I don't think any other family ever had the money, the bundles of money, replaced in the sack of their, in the mouth of their sack on the way home. They didn't know that, of course. But just talking about their situation. And they were all in it together. What has the Lord done to us? All in it together. Now let's come to their question. What is this that God hath done unto us? They didn't say, what's that man done to us? What's that man done to us? Or if not that man, his servant. What's the game? What's happening? No, they didn't say that. They said, what is this that God hath done unto us? Now, do you see the difference between that question and why has God done this to us? See? The difference is in the spirit in which we ask questions. If we ask questions, why has God done this to us? You know that deep down, there's that feeling of resentment. I don't deserve these things. Why is this happening to me? And it's good if we're delivered from asking questions in that spirit. We're to continually try our spirits, whether they are of God, whether the spirit that we have that is at work inside us, whether that comes from God or not. We pray not to be misled with our own spirit. It will lead us astray. Oh, pray for the Holy Spirit, as we said before. Pray, Jesus encourages us to. So then, the question was, what is this that God hath done unto us? And it was a perplexed question, feeling they wanted to know. It was a blessing that made them ask this. Do you feel you ever question blessings that are given? We usually start asking questions when the bad things come, difficulties face us. But how often do we ask questions when we feel there are extra special blessings that have come our way? Why? Why? Why has God granted us so much? Why has the Lord given some? Do you recognize God over everything in your life? Do you recognize that the Lord is Lord over every circumstance? And the life we have and the world we find ourselves in is all known to the Lord. And the Lord orders things. The Lord orders things. We forget this. We forget that the Lord has power over all things in heaven and in earth. We forget who our Lord Jesus is. Oh, so it's good when blessings come our way to say, what's happening? Why is this? Why is this? You see, and they came to the answer in the end, but not just yet. So, God, they recognized God in what was happening to them. They could have said, even if they didn't sing, they could have said, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. What is this that God has done unto us? God does move in a mysterious way. And we usually sing it. And I sometimes think, well, when we sing it, do we sing it with a sort of clutching feeling in our heart? Perhaps sometimes we think we'd sooner say it soberly and quietly. Quietly, perhaps to ourselves, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. Anyway, the question they asked was this. What is this that God has done unto us? Now we've come to the answer. And that's the wonderful part of the sermon this morning. That there was an answer to the question, their question. And if the question is in your heart, why has God done this? Whether it's a pathway of trial or whether it's a pathway of blessing. If that question is there, what is this that God hath done unto us? The answer is there. The answer is there. There was a Saviour. There was a Saviour behind it all. There was a Saviour. And Joseph, the Lord of Egypt, their brother, he was really their Saviour. Little s, to start with. And now, it all points to a Saviour, capital S, that dear Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Ah, yes, he is the answer if we receive blessings and are asking ourselves, why is this that God has, what is this that God hath done to us? Don't deserve it. It's because there's a Saviour, because there's one in heaven above who's dealing with us in every detail. It took time, mind. They didn't have Joseph revealing himself to them on their first visit. He could have done. But no, that vision that he had not yet been fulfilled. There must be all of them come down and bow before him. And then he would reveal himself to them. And they'd all be taken up with weeping and embracing and blessing and thanking the God that had ordered their lives all along. No, Joseph, no, Jacob, it mustn't be said, all these things are against me. No, you're wrong, Jacob. Ah. So, it was the Lord who was above. And the Lord was the one who'd put Joseph where he was. the head of everything that went on in Egypt, and the one that was indeed the saviour of their lives. He, Joseph, did he think before this, what is this that God hath done unto me? I think he may have done, but it would have been answered by what God had showed him. The Lord had showed him that there would be this outcome, and that I don't think it rested there. I think Joseph went on to think, this isn't just me that's in God's mind. God is showing not only one nation, but God is showing to the world what his purpose is in sending one who would be sold by his brethren, one who would be ill-treated, one sent by God that would prove to be the Saviour. Do you feel what we've done to Jesus? Do you feel we're the sort of people, just like these brethren, just like those in the New Testament too, people just like them, but there's a Saviour. There's a Saviour there. God meant us to hear of a Saviour. God meant us to come to a Saviour. God meant us to find a Saviour in Jesus Christ. Do you think that's so? So there was Joseph leading them on, taking time. Why? So that his pardon and the grace he would show to them would be felt more and more. You know, that's why sometimes God shows us how sinful we are. Because he would emphasize the wonderful depth of the grace and mercy that he has in store for those that come to him. Where sin abounded, no question about that. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Oh, blessed be God. Blessed be God. He knows how it ends for men like these. So here we have such a wonderful picture unfolding. You and I, like them, don't see the future. We don't see the pattern of things in front of us. But it's good if, step by step, this thought of our God is with us. What is this that God hath done unto us? They had a God. They looked to a God. Is that so with you? Do you feel there is a God? There is a God. And I'm questioning what he's doing with me in my life. I'm questioning, what is this that God is doing with me? Oh, if you feel like they felt, consciences rather sore, awakened to think of what they'd done before God. Oh, it's good if you're being made ready to find that Jesus is the Saviour for you. Yes, indeed. What is this that God hath done unto us? And the question, the answer was, there's a Saviour who knows us. There's a Saviour who has pardon in his heart to show to us. He may seem not to be our friend at the moment, but though he shows us a frowning face, nevertheless he weeps, he feels for us. Oh yes, what is this that God hath done unto us? What has God done for you? And do you see, the greatest thing of all is he's sent a Saviour. He's given a Saviour. A Saviour that will feed you, not just with ordinary food. He'll satisfy your soul. oh, what has God done for you? And when we see what God has done for us, what next? Why, to say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yes, so we leave it there, and the Lord bless his own word and grant this question might go on living in our heart. What is this that God hath done unto us? And that we may be taken again and again and again to see Jesus. Jesus is the one that's blessing. Jesus is the one that has pardon. Jesus is the one that will look after us all through our journey here below. Jesus is a friend indeed. Now the Lord bless his own word to us.